Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we pray that you will speak to each and every one of us here as we look into the passage that we have just read. We pray for insight. We pray for your help as far as application. Help the one who speaks. Help the ones who hear. We pray that we all will be guided by the Holy Spirit as we open up the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at different Christmas Bible characters, in my opinion, the angel who brought the good news to the shepherds should be considered as the first messenger of joy, for he said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." If this angel was the first Christmas messenger of joy, I would consider Simeon and Anna as the second and third messengers of joy because of what we have just read from Luke chapter 2. But before I further elaborate that story, let me give you some background information to help us understand when and why Mary and Joseph visited the temple with their newborn baby. As we look at the text, especially in verse 22, we learn of these ceremonial laws. Circumcision. All male children were to be circumcised on the eighth day after they were born. Then we have purification after childbirth. This was a ceremonial law for women who just gave birth. The woman was considered unclean for a period of 40 days. Then, at the end of this time, the mother was to go to the temple with an offering of atonement to be declared clean again, and followed by consecration of the firstborn. After the 40 days of purification, the parents were also to go to the temple to present the child and acknowledge that their firstborn son belongs to the Lord. Therefore, after 40 days of purification, Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple with a pair of turtle doves, or small type of pigeons, if you will, for the purpose of consecration. Keep in mind, Mary and Joseph were poor at the time because turtle doves were the kind of sacrifice poor people offered to the Lord. This implied Joseph and Mary were not yet in possession of the expensive gifts from the Magi because the Magi had not yet visited them. Now please look at verses 30 to 32. When Simeon saw them, he said these words, "They would bring joy to the Gentiles. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Verse 38. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Pay attention to the words, "a light of revelation to the Gentiles." Gentiles were completely lost because God never revealed himself to them directly, but the Jews were different. Throughout the Old Testament history, God again and again revealed himself to Israel, to the Israelites, that he was the true God, the God Jehovah. God had revealed himself in a burning bush. He had also revealed himself to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had also revealed himself through many prophets. But that was not the case for the Gentiles. They just did not know the pathway to God. Every Jew believed that salvation from Jehovah God was exclusively for Jewish people. Now, with this prideful attitude, they despised the Gentiles. They looked down on them by labeling them as filthy people. They would not eat with them, would not talk with them, and would not pass the time of day with them. In fact, if a Jew bought something from a Gentile merchant, he would take it home and wash it. If a Jew bought a table or a chair, he would dip this piece of furniture in a pool in order to wash away the filth of the Gentile. But now Simeon, a Jewish spokesperson for God, a Jewish spokesman for God, moved by the Holy Spirit and said these words out loud in public. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. What a message of joy to the Gentiles. Now, let's look at Anna and be reminded how she brought a message of joy. Verses 32. At that very moment, she came up, and actually this should be verse 38. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption of Jerusalem. Now, this was extremely meaningful to the residents, the Jewish residents in the city of Jerusalem. Keep in mind, the people in Jerusalem were under the rule of a ruthless king during Jesus' earthly life on earth. Who was this king? It was King Herod. King Herod was a brutal man who killed many innocent people. He killed his father-in-law. He killed several of his wives and two of his own sons. He was also the one who murdered all the male children from 2 years old and under because he was troubled by what the Magi told him. Other than killing many innocent people, Herod also ignored the laws of God to suit himself and chose the favor of Rome at the expense of his own people. In order to please the Roman emperor, King Herod built many magnificent buildings. He was known to build magnificent buildings. He had multiple. He had a lot of projects. Let me just show you a couple pictures. King Herod's grand palace. It was just a grand palace. It was extraordinary. Not only that, but he also built this theater, named after him, Herod's Theater. And in those days, you ask the question, where did he draw resource from? Building all these magnificent buildings cost money. Who paid for these? Where did he find money for all these expensive building projects? From the Jewish citizens, under his rule. King Herod's heavy taxes to pay for lavish projects forced an unfair burden on the Jewish citizens. The great building campaigns were not possible without taxing the people under his rule, leaving the majority of Jewish people in poverty. As a result, many Jewish families fell increasingly into debt and were faced with loss of their family inheritance of land. So when Anna came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, This was indeed a message of joy to everyone in Jerusalem. Think of the word redemption. Think of the meaning in the Old Testament. The word redemption in the Old Testament primarily refers to ransoming from imprisonment for debt. The Jewish people back then had absolutely no ability to remove themselves from their bondage under the rule of Herod. But now the message from Anna is actually saying, rejoice, rejoice, God's people. Now Jesus is able to set you free from your hardship. And ultimately, the Israelites, the Jews, the Jewish people can be delivered from the bondage of sin. Indeed, it's a message of joy to the Israelites. So both Simeon and Anna were indeed messengers of joy. Brothers and sisters, the first Bible Christmas character who brought the message of joy to man was the angel. Then Simeon and Anna continue to be messengers of joy. And now such a role has been passed down to you and me. We are to continue this responsibility to bring joy to people. Now, in order to become effective messengers of joy, this morning, please allow me to share with you two important principles from Simeon's and Anna's example. First, be obedient to the Holy Spirit's guiding voice. Verses 25 to 27, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit, the temple. He came in the Spirit, basically means being led. In the Greek language, it basically means being led by the Holy Spirit. Simeon obeyed the Holy Spirit's guiding voice, and this is significant in terms of bringing a message of joy to people. Most Christians understand the Holy Spirit's role as our teacher, but don't forget another important role of the Holy Spirit is his leading and guidance in our daily lives. Look at a verse perhaps you are not familiar with, but it's an important verse that talks about the roles of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 140, verse 10, it says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Holy Spirit does not only teach us. He also guides and leads us. If we want to be effective messengers of joy, we must follow Simeon's example to obey the Spirit's guiding voice. Perhaps as we seek the Spirit's guiding voice, we are afraid that the voice we hear is our own voice instead of the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's entirely possible. But if we dismiss the Spirit's voice, his guiding voice, if we dismiss his guiding voice completely because of such fear, then we are missing a very important work of the Holy Spirit. In order to strive for a good balance, we should use the scripture as our tool to discern. If the voice of the promptings we hear is totally aligned with the scripture, then it probably is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Every born-again Christian must have experienced the rebuke of the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. We all have inner voice from the Holy Spirit. In terms of guidance, it's no different. The Holy Spirit will speak to us individually to guide us. One of my good friends is a good brother, a great brother in the Lord, who has a PhD in marriage and family therapy. Several weeks ago, we sat down for lunch, and we talked quite a bit, and he reminded me that we are to be sensitive to the guiding voice of the Holy Spirit if we want to be instrumental for God's glory. This last September, he felt the Holy Spirit's nudging him to pray for a pastor in Hong Kong that he had not talked to for a while. After he prayed, he sent him a text message that said, "Pastor so-and-so, for some reason, the Holy Spirit prompted me to pray for you today. We haven't met for a while, but somehow the Holy Spirit prompted my heart to pray for you. I don't know why, but it was the case. And just want to let you know that you are not forgotten. It must have been the wonderful plan of God who moved me, who prompted me to pray for you today." Several hours later, this pastor texted back to my friend and said, and I quote, "I was waiting for the bus at the bus stop when I received your text. As soon as I saw your text, I could not hold my tears. I cried until I got off the bus because God used your text to encourage me that he had not forgotten me. I am actually going through an ordeal in my family because my son just told me that he was planning to commit suicide on October 11th. The doctors, medication, and counseling could not be a help to my son, but God used your unexpected prayer to encourage me," end quote. A month later, when October 11th arrived, something amazing happened. His son said to this pastor, I have decided not to think of committing suicide anymore." Dear brothers and sisters, do not neglect the importance of obeying the nudging or promptings of the Holy Spirit. If we are aligned with Scripture, then they are probably guidance from God. If we obey his guiding voice, we can become instrumental in bringing joy to people. Now, during the season of Christmas, may I ask you to be sensitive to the prompting or nudging of the Holy Spirit, especially in reference to the people God brings to your mind. It could be your friend or relative, or your former classmate you have not contacted for a while. It could also be a brother or sister in the Lord who has gone through or still going through trials and sufferings. Please do not neglect the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Obey, follow his guiding voice to do whatever he asks you to do. Now, with the recent wildfire, perhaps the Lord prompts you to pray for one of our families that lives nearby the fire location. Perhaps God moves you to pray for firefighters. Do not suppress, do not ignore, do not neglect. If the Spirit moves you to write a card, make a phone call, or do whatever he asks you to do, obey. As we obey them, we can be instrumental as we carry out this responsibility as messenger of joy. Second, other than being obedient to the Holy Spirit's guiding voice, go above and beyond our duty. Now look at the text. In verse 37, it says, "And then, as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers." Now, it could mean, if you look at other versions, if you look at the Chinese versions, it's pretty clear there. It tells you the original can be translated into two ways. First, it actually means she was 84 years old. But keep in mind, it can also be translated that she had been a widow for 84 years. There's a vast difference between the two. Now, keep in mind, it's likely the latter. She had been a widow for 84 years. The reason? Because the text says Luke described her as very old, advanced in age. Literally, it means she was very old. Now, if you do the math, she was a widow for 84 years old, and she lived with her husband for 7 years. Now, in those days, they got married early, 14. Minimum age would be 14. If you do the math, 14 times plus 7 plus 84, 105. She was very old, 105. Now, can you say this together with me? 70 years old is not old. Say that. 70 years old is not old. Please, 70 years old is not old. 80 years is not old. Repeat after me. 80 years is not old. 105 years old is very old. She was very old. But as you look at the text, you will be impressed by what she did. Given her old age, she could have participated much less in her service to God and people. She could have stayed home most of the time and sat in her rocking chair to enjoy her retired life. But that's not what we see in our passage today. She really went above and beyond her duty, which put her in the position to become instrumental for God to bring the message of joy to people. Now let us learn from her to go above and beyond our service to God and people. Don't only serve God and people because of our duty. In order to be instrumental for God's glory, let us also be willing to go above and beyond our duty. Last month, I spent a week in Cambodia for short-term missions. A physician from our church, FCBC LA, and a pharmacist from SGV joined me for this trip. One of our assignments was to conduct a medical trip to this remote village. It was neat to see many people receiving medical help from our two brothers. Many came out for doctor's examination and received medication. But it was even more gratifying to see many of them receiving Christ for the first time. Keep in mind, they are very superstitious people. Look at this picture. We were able to share the gospel with my translator. I was able to explain the gospel in full. And then later on, I asked for decision. If this is a sincere decision in your heart, can you raise your hand to receive Jesus? Meaning you only believe in Him, no other gods. God is the only way. As you can tell from the picture, many of them, including elderly, middle-aged couples, young couples, and even children. What impressed me the most was a time of prayer. When we prayed the prayer, they were sincere. You can tell from the picture that they were sincere as they prayed that sinner's prayer to receive Christ for the first time. No doubt it was God's work that in this occasion alone, 22 people received Christ for the first time. No doubt that it was God's work and all glory goes to Him. However, the success of this medical mission should also be attributed to our driver. Our driver is the pastor of a church in Cambodia. He pastors a Chinese church in the capital city. That day, he drove us there, and it was a four-hour round-trip drive. The road to the village was rough. Passengers who sleep, like me, we could sleep, but not the driver. During the road trip, I found out this pastor actually drives back and forth to this village almost every Sunday to show tangible care to these village people. Just attending to his own church responsibilities as pastor is already a lot every Sunday, but he went above and beyond his duty. This really paved the way for the success of our medical mission there. His labor in the Lord, this pastor's labor in the Lord that was above and beyond, certainly pay off. Dear brothers and sisters, do you want to be an instrumental messenger of joy for God's glory? If you do, may I challenge you to emulate Anna's example, to go above and beyond your own duty. It is certainly worth the effort because we can add joy to those who are lacking joy. During Christmas season, may I suggest the following applications for you to consider. First, participate in a toy donation for the kids in the Chinatown community. Our church has a special ministry called Grassroots Gospel Ministry. Their objective is to bring the Chinese in the Chinatown community to Christ. On December 23rd, we will have an evangelistic outreach to them. They will be bringing their children. We anticipate many families will bring their children. As we reach out to them this year, we would like to give each of their children a brand new toy as a Christmas present. Please understand the community children are not from middle-class, affluent families like many of our own church kids. A decent, brand-new toy would be special to them. If you can help out, could you please bring a toy that is appropriate for third to fifth grader next Sunday? Next Sunday, after this service, after first session, after second session, you will see a booth in the courtyard collecting toys that fit third to fifth grade. So let us consider to apply in this way. Now, if you miss the opportunity next Sunday, you may still bring the toy to our church office before December 23rd. Second, visit an FCBC elderly who is in a convalescent home. Now, last year, Christmas Day, I felt urged to drop by convalescent homes to visit some elderly. I never did it before on Christmas Day, but last year, for some reason, I was urged to do that. As I walked into the convalescent home, I saw a picture that really depressed me. It was Christmas Day, and yet you see picture like this. The elderly sitting in their wheelchairs. This is a normal picture you see in convalescent home, but it was Christmas Day. Can we go above and beyond to bring joy to these shut-ins? I wish every one of them can be home to be with their folks. But this is not the reality we see in convalescent homes. Young people, I challenge you. You may have already planned out your program during the holiday. You may go for a movie, you may go for this or that activity, but may I challenge you to go above and beyond. Perhaps you say, well, Pastor, I don't know any of the elderly. I don't have any relatives who are in convalescent home. I don't know anyone. Well, if you do not know anyone, well, you can consider, to think about our own elderly excuse me, one of the names up here is the mother of Brother Tom Lim. And she has gone home to be with the Lord this last Wednesday. So, but for the rest, these are FCBC elderly. Now you can pay a visit. If you do not know the information, you can contact one of our ministers. His name is Daniel Kwok, and you can email him and ask for details, the location of convalescent homes. Now, this is not the sole responsibilities of those who are in their 70s and 80s. Who said in the scripture that only the elderly should be caring for the elderly? No. I trust that you will listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and go above and beyond. And perhaps you say, well, if I go to the convalescent home, if I meet so-and-so, they don't even know me. It doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, you know, sometimes the elderly, because their brain degeneration, they cannot even recognize their own relatives. What is most important is the moment when you visit. The moment when you visit can truly bring joy to these elderly. Now, other than that, participate in disaster relief work for the wildfire victims. Our denomination, as always, will be responding to natural disasters. And needless to say, this time around, this wildfire, our denomination, Southern Baptist, our California State Convention, our local associations, they are organizing some efforts. I challenge you to participate. I cannot give you any detailed information now, but if you can participate, pay close attention to the future weeks as we share with you more detailed information. Last but not the least, speak about Jesus. Going above and beyond by doing kind deeds is good, but keep in mind that non-believers, charities out there, are also doing these kind of good deeds, especially during this season. How can we be distinct from non-believers? One of the ways to show the difference is that we speak about Jesus. Without speaking about Jesus, what we bring people is just temporary joy, and we cannot really become instrumental to God in bringing people lasting joy. If Simeon and Anna did not speak about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, He is the true God, they could not have been instrumental in bringing joy to the Gentiles and the Jews. For this reason, we must go above and beyond by speaking about Jesus. This past week, many were impacted negatively by the wildfires in one way or another. It made more non-Christians open to think about the big why question. Why did God allow such disaster to happen? This frequently asked question creates ample opportunities for us to speak about Jesus. When you have an opportunity to talk with a non-Christian this month, initiate a spiritual conversation by saying something like this: the wildfire this past week was a horrible natural disaster. Have you ever wondered why are there so many natural disasters, so many evil killings, and so much brokenness in this world? Initiate this conversation by asking questions like these. Oftentimes, such questions allow us to talk about our sin. It is our sin that messes up this world, and the only way to remove our sin is to receive Jesus as our Savior. Perhaps you can draw this diagram on a napkin if you happen to be talking to someone in a restaurant or something. Perhaps you can, you know, draw this diagram. Let me elaborate this diagram quickly. You know, God has a plan for every one of us. Originally, it was God's intent to bless us. And if we follow His plan, He has a plan for every one of us. Unfortunately, we depart from His plan. And the Bible labeled this kind of act as sin, S-I-N. Because we depart from God's original plan, that's why We have all kinds of problems. There are so much brokenness in this world. You see the fuzzy arrows up there? They represent man's way, human ways, to fix the problem of brokenness. Why so many natural disasters? Why so much killings? Why so much evil in this world? Why so much brokenness in different families? Because of sin. Don't blame God, blame sin. And going back to the fuzzy arrows, they represent human ways to fix our problem of brokenness. It did not go far. People use different ways to fix brokenness, but the more they try, the more broken they become. None of their methods work. The only way to resolve the problem of brokenness is to repent and believe in the gospel. Gospel tells us that because of our sin, we are heading to this eternal hell. And because of Jesus Christ, because of his love, he died and crucified on the cross for us. He put up with this pain. 3 nails pierced through his body. The blood kept on coming down. He hung on the cross for more than 6 hours. He put up with this tremendous pain because he died for your sin and my sin. This is called gospel. What we need to do is to accept this gospel, repent of our sin, accept Jesus as your Savior. And then we can go back to God's original design. That's the gospel. Talk about Jesus. Speak about Jesus. Be a true messenger of joy. Some years ago, a long-distance call. I received a long-distance phone call from Hong Kong from a brother. This long-distance phone call woke me up early morning. It was around 5 or something. It was a brother calling long distance from Hong Kong. I distinctly recall picking up the telephone and hearing these words from him. "Oh, Benny, I'm so sorry to wake you up so early in the morning, but God miraculously provided us a baby, and the baby was just born. The joy in our lives was bubbling over. We are not supposed to have children, but God amazingly provided us a baby, and I could not wait to include others in the moment. That's why I'm calling up all my family members and my closest friends to share with them the exciting announcements." Dear brothers and sisters, this phone call has reminded me of a very valuable life lesson. We are to be messengers of joy because joy is meant to be shared with others. How much more important to share the most meaningful message of joy that our world needs? This is our Jesus way to resolve the problem of a broken world. Initiate a spiritual conversation. Also invite them to Christmas Sunday on the 24th. Let us pray.